Yeah.
They talk too much.
Yeah, I was.
Before we got here?
No.
All right, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting to order. It is February 17th, 2005, and this is the Subcommittee on Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Our Senate colleagues are still on the floor debating. Who knows how long that will be? So we're going to get started with that. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5534.
Yes.
A few comments?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Co-Chair Williamson, members of the committee. I'm Julina Burka from the Legislative Fiscal Office. This afternoon, we're going to continue with DPSST. We'll hear first from Denver Peterson from the Chief Financial Office, and then we'll hear some public testimony on DPSST's budget bill. Also before you this afternoon is a request for retroactive approval for a federal grant application, which you may not be able to vote on.
We'll leave it till the end.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to update you on a few things new in OLIS. You'll find the agency request and the LFO analysis for the grant application under today's date. Also, there are two new OLIS postings for the Oregon Military Department under the February 12th meeting date. Those are a response to Senator Bates's inquiry on expanding the Youth Challenge Program, mm-hmm. and the other is a response to Representative Wisnant's inquiry on 911 funds.
Thank you.
Excellent. Denver, come on up.
Chair, member, committees. For the record, my name is Denver Peterson with the Chief Financial Office, and I'm here to give you an overview of the governor's budget.
Excellent. Thank you.
The agency did a great job yesterday of going through their budget, so I'm going to stay at kind of the high level and just kind of work through the issues or some of the opportunities, I think, that are available, as Director Eric's talked about. Training with the... We don't know the impact what Measure 91 is going to have. We don't know what the oil trains are going to have for DPST, but we know they're going to have some sort of role. We also don't know with the upcoming retirement opportunities if they'll have enough classes. And also with that, where's my notes here for a second? They're expanding the CPE course, and as well as their expansion on the mental health training, will help them do more. But they're just uncertainties, and so I wanted to make sure that we brought that forward. Also, with their facility, as Eric's mentioned, the facility is 9 years old, so we're going to have to come forward with some deferred maintenance process, in the coming. And all that is related on CFA.
Which one is the briefing?
So this will...
I define stuff on OLIS. Hold on.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is posted under yesterday's meeting.
Yes, ma'am, I have that.
Oh, okay, and it's called the DAS presentation.
Got it. Thank you. Not the governor's budget.
Okay. Correct.
Thank you. Sorry.
Go ahead.
DPST supports the 10-year public safety vision by ensuring that they are properly trained. By following and upholding professional standards. This is a DPSD's expenditure history. On the left side will be their actuals. The biggest difference between the 2011-13 actuals and the 13-15 and 15-17 is there is a refinance, bond refinancing from COPs to bonds. The agency's LAB from December compared to the governor's is about a 3.9% change overall. The majority of their funds is other funds. $37.7 million of it is other funds. $27 million of it is CFA money. This revenue is displayed from 2003 through 5 through current. It is broken out by the different forms of money, so CFA, fire insurance, rent, licensing, federal grants. I kind of wanted just to highlight the fact that the CFA is the one in blue, and it's kind of the highest. It is the one that moves the most, and it's the one that's not really dedicated to fire insurance, is dedicated to the fire processes and other. But this one's the kind of one source for if they had to expand on their training or if they had to add additional classes, this is the money that they'd have to pull from. The governor's budget added additional staff for mental health crisis intervention, as well as adding staff for CPE. They also added $100,000 in relation to upcoming fines for Department of Justice. And that is about all I have to add to everything that Eric's did. So if I can answer any questions or...
Any questions? Yes, Senator Wisnett. I mean, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you.
I'll give you a
Senator.
I didn't want to be a senator.
I know, you don't want to be over there right now.
Mr. Peterson, thank you. You commented the uncertainty of Measure 90 of the 3194. Can you give us the amount of money that you need back from the 3194 and also the Measure 91? We had the director talk about the two options pack, the three options package, and I think the two are very critical. The first two are very critical, even to Measure 91. It could require more. Can you comment on that?
Chair, Representative Whitman. What 3194, we needed to add, I don't have any information on the additional money or additional staffs needed for Measure 91 or for 3194. But what I do know is that if we go forward, they may have to come back and ask for additional resources.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. I think what we're looking for is if you're not fat, you didn't get a lot of increase in your budget. But so if the co-chairs don't give us back the 3194 money that was identified as savings, is that the we need to know what your impact on the academy is, and also you need to really play and I think provide us an estimate of we talked about it yesterday with the director attending these 91 meetings to be sure what kind of impact that's going to have on your responsibility to train our frontline officers and dealing with the results of Measure 91. So maybe we'll have that continue to have that conversation with the director to help us fight for you to be sure you've got funding to handle all those.
Chairman of Ruffin, thank you.
Good.
Excellent. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Director, do you need to come up or do you want me to just start public testimony?
Madam Chair, you can start public testimony, but I can answer part of that question. If
come on down.
Okay, just
so, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Eric Skablix, Director, Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. To Representative Wisnett's question, there's two moving parts here. One is 3194 reinvestment, which started last session. We see the two positions for Center for Policing Excellence as the continuation of 3194 reinvestment. The two mental health positions are criminal fines and assessment, a request there, as is the legal expenses. As to ballot measure 91, we did meet with Chair Patridge this morning and with Steve Marks, the director of OLCC, and we had a very active discussion about two things. One is the impact that the training of their agents and investigators will have at DPSST. Because of action passed by this body, those inspectors now will be certified by DPSST and trained by DPSST, not as full functioning police officers of 16 weeks, but as peace officers with limited status without firearms. So we're going to do a training program just for them that they will be paying us for. Then on the other side of that discussion is the impact on ballot measure 91 to city, county, state law enforcement officers. We see at least four positions in DPSST's budget request for that to provide training for officers on the street for detecting marijuana influence. In addition to that, we'll be working with the Oregon State Police to identify what additional training is needed for a program called Drug Recognition Expert, DRE, which is a higher level of training.
Yeah.
Because we, and I think you know that, so we're having that discussion. And we're going to be submitting a separate request through the ballot measure 91 discussion process outside of this budget.
Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Director. And that's what I'm saying is I think that's got to be in their discussion. They've got to include that in their discussions. The DRE is how much more training is that involved? A lot, significant amount.
Co-Chair Williamson and Representative Wisden, it's a significant amount, and honestly, we've seen through attrition and promotions, DREs of the past are not in that role anymore. With counties that are cash-strapped and cities cash-strapped, there's even a discussion from chiefs or sheriffs about backfill for those officers as they need to staff their 24/7 response or even just 911 response to train new DREs. So the question we have with OLCC that we'll be working on with state police is, how many current DREs do we have, and what do we need, and then what's the cost to train those people?
Just the last comment, Madam Chair. Thank
you. Absolutely.
You know, because I'm hearing that there's a lot of discussion and people are not really realizing what the cost is going to be to implement this. I understand there's even a possibility of slowing down when we allow it to happen, but I think your input is very critical to this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Senator Gorsuch.
Yes, Mr. Director. If we could go, can we go back one slide that showed the, It looks like, tell me if I'm wrong, it looks like there might be a bit of federal money there in the 15-17. Is that true, or was that something that ended in 13-15?
Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Gorsuch, DPSST receives federal money from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, so that allows us to provide National Fire Academy classes. Then we also do receive, indirectly through the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, NHTSA, a grant that goes to ODOT that funds a full-time traffic safety coordinator for our law enforcement program. But those are the only federal funds that we receive.
Okay.
It's a very small slice. And then the grant coming up later on will be another federal slice from FEMA through a Fire Act grant.
Okay. So that answers that question. One other question that I have, we were talking a lot about police officer training and sheriff's deputy training last time, and I know that when I went through reserve program, I was DPSST certified, but all of my training was through a county sheriff's department. Does DPSST do any of that now, or is that cost all borne out by Sheriff's Department?
Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Gorsuch, we do not play any role in reserve officer training or certification. That cost is borne exclusively by the agency that uses reserve officers.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Manager.
Thank you. So we'll call up our first panel, Chief McQueen, Joe Basler, and Commander Wood.
Good afternoon, members of the Public Safety Ways and Means Committee. My name is Gary McQueen. I'm the Deputy Chief of the Estacada Fire District and current President of the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. I've asked to speak with you today on behalf of DPSST's training and proposed budget. As you know, DPSST is the sole agency in Oregon for our fire hazardous materials, fire apparatus driving and pumping, and wildland firefighting certifications, which are required as an industry standard by the National Fire Protection Association. DPSST provides these services to any fire agency at their Salem facility and by way of regional delivery. Some departments can send their members to Salem, but for those that cannot, the regional ability is critical. Qualified fire instructors travel to communities to provide outreach opportunities, often to multiple departments at a time. Last year, I witnessed several firefighters practicing driving techniques with a DPSST skid truck on the tarmac at the Eastern Oregon Regional Airport in Pendleton. This training lasted several days and was attended by several fire departments, many of them volunteer in the Umatilla County area. The courses delivered at DPSST Academy in Salem are also incredibly valuable. There are weekend academies that provide volunteers with the ability to train there. They also provide National Fire Academy outreach courses. So rather than spend a week or two at the Academy in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which can be very hard for some people to do, they attend many of the same courses here. Firefighters are held to a higher standard of skill and professionalism. DPSST adds to and helps maintain the professional standards of Oregon's fire service and is an important reason that our firefighters are trained so well. This adds value to and improves quality of life of individual communities and to the entire state. On behalf of the Oregon Fire Chiefs, I urge you to move for approval of the DPSST budget. May I answer any questions?
Questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Co-Chair Williamson, members of the committee, thank you for a moment of your time. For the record, my name is Jeff Wood. I serve as the Parole and Probation Division Commander with the Marion County Sheriff's Office. I am here as a representative of the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, OACCD and OSSA. Let me apologize ahead of time for all the acronyms I'm about to throw out. Hopefully, I don't confuse anyone, most of all myself. Collectively, we are here to support the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, DPSST. As you know, DPSST provides a critical array of training, including the basic police, corrections, and parole and probation courses required for state certification. Both OACCD and OSSA have enjoyed a fantastic collaborative relationship and partnership with DPSST over the years, and we look forward to that partnership as we enter into a new biennium. As an example of the partnership, both DPSST and OACCD collaborated to improve and recreate our basic parole and probation curriculum. Keeping in mind the evidence-based mandates of Senate Bill 267 from the 2003 legislative session, focusing on best practices of supervision and methods proven to keep our community and officers safe. Gone are the days of simple memorization and death by PowerPoint presentations. They have been replaced by an adult learning model that fosters collaborative interaction, group and individual projects, and skill testing to demonstrate integration of the various subjects. By graduation, our trainees are able to integrate theory into the daily interactions of the clients they are charged to supervise. Without the leadership of Director Gablix and his staff, this Herculean effort would have not come to fruition. OACCD and OSSA have also appreciated our inclusion in the Police and Corrections Policy Committees, which ensure DPSST rules, standards, and policies relating to our certification are maintained at the highest level of training and behavioral expectations. Sadly, there are times when professionals in our field fail to adhere to these standards, and it's these policy committees, which are charged to review such cases and recommend measures to ensure our certification standards are being met. Given recent events across the country, it is important to ensure that these policy committees continue in the future to maintain public confidence and trust. Finally, as you heard testimony last week on House Bill 3194, I come to you with a concern or even a plea, so to speak. We'll be in need of more parole and probation as well as corrections classes at DPSST. DPSST has been an amazing partner in providing additional classes during the current biennium, and we know this need will continue into 2015-2017. Although some may wonder how prison diversion and recidivism reduction mantra of justice reinvestment may correlate to my request, as you heard, one simply needs to look at how counties are spending justice reinvestment money to summarize that need. Many counties, like Marion, use justice reinvestment dollars to increase staffing of parole and probation officers, as well as capacity management plans in their current county jails. Additionally, some counties, like Lane and Columbia, have passed funding measures for their jail, and this only heightens the need, as I just stated. In short, we will need to hire and train more staff, and they will need to be trained at DPSST. At the end of the day, our state and local communities expect excellence in public safety services, and the foundation of that expectation begins with training provided by DPSST. I thank you for your time, and I am available for any questions if there are any.
No, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
The death by PowerPoint, we have not gotten that memo in the Ways and Means process yet. Put it out there.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, my name is Joe Basler. I represent Oregon AFSCME, and we represent the workers at DPSST. And I'm a little thrown off because I worked death by PowerPoint into my presentation like three times, and now it just seems it's going to seem really awkward. So I'm going to scramble, try to make it about. The workers at DPSST actually are very supportive, not actually, but are very supportive of the agency budget with a couple of caveats. I think we can push a little harder than the agency on a couple of things that have been mentioned, especially yesterday, around the sort of the retirement cliff we're coming up on. Our workers there are very worried about it. They're very worried about their workload and that keeping on the same trajectory isn't maybe the best thing. We need to be ready to pivot if, you know, with retirements exploding, but then also adding, as Representative mentioned, Measure 99 and the influence it's going to have on the workload for our folks. They just want to make sure that you're aware that while we support the budget, we're very concerned that it may we may need to come back to you if workload explodes or balloons. Part of that is another one of our concerns. We like the mitigation to more technologically advanced. This is where I was going to work in Death by PowerPoint. the more technologically advanced training mechanism, because as you have so many retirees leaving, you have a much younger population coming in and getting trained, and they're used to sitting with their iPad to learn. That's how they learn. And we think it's great that they're doing the mitigation, but right now the budget doesn't call for the actual purchasing of the technology. And I think whether that's through the e-board process later down the line, or just sort of put a pin in your mind about that, that getting it ready is important, but unless you have the actual technology with you, it's just not as good. Those are the two big concerns that our members wanted me to bring forward. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. All right, our next panel, three chiefs. Mike, come on up. Assistant Chief Mike Krebs, Chief Barker, and Chief Teague.
Well, good morning, Co-Chair Williamson and committee members. I'm Mike Krebs. I'm an Assistant Chief at the Portland Police Bureau. I'm here today to talk about our relationship with TPSST. And, you know, I've been in this with the Portland Police for almost 23 years. I went to the academy when I was, you know, first hired here. And I've had interactions with them over this time. And I can tell you it's never been better for us. Eric Gablix and Todd Anderson have been absolutely awesome. Several years ago when I was the captain of the training division, the relationship was somewhat kind of warm, kind of lukewarm. But since Eric took over, it's been great for us. We actually have a sergeant who works down there 15 hours a week. They're very inviting to him. He's allowed to come down and check on our trainees, to be involved in the training, to have access to the training facilities. They've been very opening and helpful to our recruits. As you know, the academy is 16 weeks down at the basic academy, and our officers go there for their very basic training, like everybody else in the state. So our officers get a train with people from Tillamook and Medford, all over the state. But we do have them come back and go through what we call the Advanced Academy at the Portland Police Bureau. And that's another 13 weeks. And it does not replace the Basic Academy. The Basic Academy gives our folks the basics, and we do some Portland-specific stuff for those 13 weeks. We actually have a brand new training facility. I know there's been some talk about that. And our training facility does not replace DPSST. It is used mostly to train our 944 current members. It's a very small piece to train the new trainees. We get about anywhere from 20 to 50 a year. So it's a small piece of our new training facility. So we're not trying to take over for DPSST, because they do a great job. Ours is just for mostly our current sworn members. It's interesting. I've watched the quality of training at DPSST. Not only the relationship, but the training has, they're really big in role-playing and scenarios, which is the state of the art. And I know that Eric's and Todd have really embraced that. And I was down there, Eric's gave me an actual tour of the facility, and I was able to see the scenario village. I don't know if you folks have seen that or not, but it's
next week.
Yeah, looks like a very realistic city. And you go in there and you're acting like you're in a city, and it's amazing. We were there, and there was a foot pursuit. You know, I guess a suspect had ran away, and it showed the officers trying to contain that suspect. And I was very impressed with the facility and the trainers. And so you have a TPSS2 doing a great job for you folks. So that's all I want to talk about, is just give you an overview of how the Portland Police Bureau feels about DPSST and the facility and the personnel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Co-Chair Williamson and members of the committee. My name is Kent Barker, and I'm the Chief of Police with the City of Tualatin. I also serve as the Chair of the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training and the Chair of the Police Policy Committee. The Board and Police Policy Committee have established and uphold standards for law enforcement professionals throughout our state. In reviewing the past 5 years of data, there's been an average of 100 criminal justice officers a year who have lost their state certification. This includes police, corrections, parole and probation, and telecommunicators. When looking at just police and corrections alone, there is a slight decrease in the amount of decertifications compared with the previous five-year periods. Alarming, though, is the average year of experience for a decertified officer seems to be on an increase, and significantly more supervisory or above certification seems to be increasing, too, which is one more reason why the Center for Police Excellency is so important to DPSST. The board, our policy committees, DPSST, staff, in partnership with law enforcement organizations across the state, take this very seriously and not only address law enforcement officer misconduct, but also look at ways to prevent it. This starts when an officer is looked at for employment and how they behave and react in initial and basic training. There are a number of states that do not have a state requirement that officers be certified or where the ability to decertify officers is limited or non-existent. We may not be perfect in Oregon, but our system addresses accountability issues, and our work shows that. We take that very seriously. I'd also like to shift gears a little bit now and talk about the mental health and crisis response. I'm fortunate to serve as the Vice President-at-Large for the International Association of Chiefs of Police. The mental health crisis is one of the top priorities, not only in the state of Oregon, but nationally and internationally. Here in Oregon, our law enforcement officers, in the regular course of their days, are the first individuals to encounter those with mental health problems or intellectual/developmental disabilities. The city of Tualatin is predominantly in Washington County, and in Washington County alone, a mental health response team has been developed to deal with the ever-increasing response to mental health situations. In 2013, the mental health response team in Washington County responded to 1,463 incidents. In 2014, the numbers more than doubled as the team responded to 3,245 incidents. Law enforcement officers throughout our state are seeing similar increases. Small, mid-sized, and large departments in rural, suburban, and urban areas are impacted. No department in the state of Oregon is untouched by this issue. Just this past month, a man suffering from mental illness in Washington County armed himself with full body armor, a Kevlar ballistic helmet, and two AR-15 rifles. He was told that the police were coming to help an apartment manager tow his car from the parking lot. Although that information was inaccurate, that's what he was told and led to believe. Fortunately, a family member heard of his plan to ambush the police and alerted the police, and so fortunately there wasn't a very violent situation that could have happened. I can't emphasize enough the importance of why our first responders need the tools and skills to best handle these type of individuals. Law enforcement officers, we need the training, the community partnerships, and knowledge on how to identify if a disability exists and how best to interact with those with mental health problems or intellectual developmental disabilities. Recognizing the impact these encounters have on policing, both as public safety and as a public health concern, addressing these encounters are a priority for law enforcement leadership. Partnering with mental health professionals, advocates, nonprofit organizations, and family members will allow us to collectively develop successful strategies on the forefront of policing. As mentioned, the large majority of Oregon law enforcement agencies are small. We're not the size of Portland, and we don't all work in the Washington County or metro area. And only a handful of departments actually have training officers to train on this issue. DPSST's request to add two public safety training specialists specifically for mental health crisis response are in high demand. These positions will help local agencies implement the crisis intervention teams and other crisis response programs around the state. These new positions will enhance officer and citizen safety in crisis situations involving persons with mental illness and help reduce liability concerns. I fully support, and that's why I'm here, to hope that you support these proposals also. I appreciate your time, and I hope that you support the DPSST proposed budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you get in there?
Yeah, I'm going to turn the screen so I can see and be seen. How's that work? Thank you. Greetings, Chair Williamson and members of the committee. My name is John Teague. I'm the Chief of Police of the City of Kaiser. I'm happy to talk to you today about the Center for Policing Excellence at DPSST. You know, of course, that the Center for Policing Excellence was established by House Bill 3194. You also know that the overarching purpose of House Bill 3194 was to reduce the cost, or is rather, to reduce the cost of incarceration. The Center for Policing Excellence, the CPE, has as its primary purposes to make policing more effective and efficient, to make communities safer, and to reduce the number of people entering the criminal justice system. And it has as its primary method to do that, introducing evidence-based policing to DPSST. You may recall that there was no leadership training provided by DPSST, for 5 years. It only provided skills training. I'll get back to that in just a moment. There are many conversations today at the national level, at this building and around our dinner tables, about bias policing, about the need for officers to connect with their communities, and about police legitimacy. Police legitimacy is a term that describes the degree to which a community views its police officers as legitimate authorities. Understanding and applying these concepts are not simply matters of skills. Rather, they ask a deeper question of why, and they explore the question of how. They come from a deeper understanding. They come from a culture established in an agency and requires a leader to establish that culture. And leaders need access to education. They need access to research to know what works to counter bias, what works to solve problems, and what works to increase legitimacy. So sure, there was no leadership training for 5 years, but that might not have been a bad thing, because when it came back and with a reset. It came back with a prescription by the legislature that evidence-based practices would be inculcated in DPSST. By the way, it's also noteworthy that police leadership was crying for this purpose in leadership. Evidence-based policing, by the way, or police research into policing is relatively new. There was a dearth of policing research for almost 20 years, largely as a result of the Kansas City Patrol study, which took place in the early 70s. That study largely said that no matter what you do with your cops, you can't impact crime. The problem was the intervention took place at one level and the measurement took place at another. When they revisited that, when they measured at the level of intervention, they discovered that actually cops can do a whole lot. Today there's a wealth of research into policing, into what we do and how we do it. Evidence-based strategies tell us that we can reduce and prevent crime, that if we focus on places and not people, we can reduce crime, and that when we do focus on people, we focus on high-risk offenders, that data should inform our decision-making, and that we should look to solve problems. You've certainly heard of community policing. Community policing is simply a tactic under the larger rubric of problem-solving policing or problem-oriented policing. That is, identifying root causes of crime and solving them. Sometimes that involves the community. It almost always involves working with the community to identify those problems. Every agency from one cop to 40,000 can employ problem-oriented policing, and they should. The leaders need to understand problem-oriented policing and need to understand what works, what the research shows works. Data-driven policing, which you may hear a lot about, doesn't always work. In fact, it won't work in a lot of agencies in Oregon where the data, where the samples are too small to actually drive the decision-making. But problem-oriented policing always works. Oregon is far ahead of the rest of the nation in inculcating evidence-based policing at DPSST and in exploring problem-oriented policing. The U.S. Department of Justice became aware of the Center for Policing Excellence and sent two researchers to view it. Those researchers told DOJ that Oregon's onto something new. In fact, it was those researchers that said that Oregon is far ahead of the rest of the nation. U.S. DOJ asked Steve Weiniger, the director of development of something at DPSST. I just spaced it. They asked him to come speak at President Obama's 21st Century Policing Conference, which he just came back from, speaking about values in policing, about community values, which values are reducing crime, increasing legitimacy, and increasing feelings of community safety. Because, in fact, you are safer than you may feel that you are. To stay ahead, we need to move ahead. DPSST has asked for a policy option package number 2. They've asked for a training and development coordinator to inculcate EB, evidence-based policing, throughout all their curricula at DPSST, and they've asked for a research analyst, a criminologist, to gather and sift through the available research. There's lots of difficult reading in these studies. Many of the studies are behind academic firewalls, and many of them require meta-analyses to figure out which of the studies will apply to Oregon small agencies, and also to become familiar with Oregon small agencies to go out and find the answers in the data. Police leaders in Oregon are very interested in doing things the right way and doing what works. The Center for Policing Excellence came along at a good time for Oregon and perhaps for the nation. It's good for our present and it's good for our future, and I'm hoping you'll continue to support it and build upon its successes. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the panel?
Very good.
Thank you very much. We're going to close out with Patrick. If there's anyone else who would like to give testimony who's not on the list, let Risa know. Otherwise, Patrick, you're the closer.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Patrick Singh with the Association of Oregon Counties. Very privileged to share the panel with the three chiefs that just preceded me. They all had personal involvement in my volunteer police experience. Chiefs Teague and Barker were at the Kaiser Police Department when I was a cadet there 13 years ago, and Chief Krebs swore me in as a reserve officer in Portland 5 years ago. So in regards to DPSST, in addition to the county commissioners that we represent, we also represent sheriffs, district attorneys, 911 directors, parole probation directors, juvenile directors, emergency management directors, all who intersect with DPSST in some way, shape, or form. So we certainly support the work that DPSST is doing. I mentioned last week during the military budget presentation that we had four public safety summits last year that identified one of our major issues is not only 911 funding, but also mental health issues and diverting people with mental illness from jail. And so we're very pleased to support the policy option package that DPSST has put forward for regional and in-house mental health training. So I wanted to put that out there on the record, but we support everything that the department's doing with the Center for Policing Excellence and giving our senior leadership in county and city government added leadership training and advancing our public safety standards and profession to another level. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Questions? Last call, anyone else? All right, with that, I will close the public hearing. And we can set over the grant application because we have no senators. So we can't vote on anything. Is that okay?
All right. Is that way always?
I know, it's the Senate.
Hurry up and wait for the Senate.
With that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you. With that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you.